Hello and welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. I'm your aptly named host. It's Friday, June 7th. Oh, I hope you were with me last week. I'd suffer endocarditis if I heard that you had missed Grow Grassroots. Michael O'Brien, founder and principal of Mob Advocacy, had ideas on how to bring people to your cause with grassroots advocacy. And Divine Devices, desktops, laptops, tablets, and handhelds. Scott Kegler had tips for picking the right device. He's the editor of Nonprofit Technology News and our regular tech contributor. This week, Maria's FAQs. Maria Semple, the prospect finder and our prospect research contributor, does a lot of speaking and training, and we're going to talk about what she's frequently asked. About halfway through the guests, through my conversation with Maria on Tony's Take Two, Keith Wright and artist Sally West are in the studio. They're joining me from Australia, and they're going to tell us about the Love Is campaign. It's my pleasure right now to welcome Maria Semple back to the show. She's the Prospect Finder. You'll find her at theprospectfinder.com. She's a trainer and speaker on prospect research. Her book is Panning for Gold, Find Your Best Donor Prospects Now. You know her. She's our doyen of dirt cheap and free. And you can follow Maria on Twitter at Maria Semple. Welcome back, Maria. How are you?
Hey there, Tony. How are you doing today?
Terrifically. How are you?
Oh, just fine.
That's good. You do a lot of speaking. You go all over the country, I guess, don't you?
Yeah, mostly in the Northeast, and every once in a while a conference will take me elsewhere to speak, but for the most part it is in the Northeast area.
Okay, mostly Northeast. And you're talking about prospect research for individuals, certainly, and what else?
Well, also I touch upon foundation research and business or corporate research. So most of the stuff, though, that people are interested in gaining knowledge on is on individuals.
Okay. And before we start getting into the questions that you're often asked, and, you know, we'll start with where you start. But when you're given an assignment, before you start going online or anywhere to any resource, online or library or, you know, all the others that you have, What are you looking at in the assignment, and what are you thinking about?
I'm thinking about what is the relationship that the person already has to the organization, because that's very important to know, and also what is the goal of the research. So is this person a donor prospect? Is this person perhaps being considered for board membership at a large organization, and they're trying to determine, you know, what that person's network is like and what that might bring to the organization? So I guess, you know, ultimately, what is the overall goal? And is it for an annual gift versus planned gift versus an endowment or major gift? So the goal of the gift is very important.
And why is gift type important to what you're going to be doing with that assignment?
I might be looking for certain markers. You know, Tony, if I were doing research, for example, on plan giving prospect, you know, age would come into play, trying to determine where else they may have made major significant commitments, even if I could find maybe a multi-year commitment, maybe through a foundation or something like that. So, yeah, I'm interested in knowing their age, what the goal of the gift is,
And how would that,
or not,
how would that distinguish from whether the person maybe was a prospect for annual giving?
So for an annual gift, you know, they might be looking for somebody that could just sort of, you know, upgrade what they've been giving over time. So I might be looking for, well, if they've been donating to your organization at levels of $1,000 a year, but if I'm able to determine that they're donating elsewhere in the community at gifts of $5,000 or $10,000 a year, then that points to, well, we're not asking for enough, you know, where they are able to do more. So really just trying to determine where they're giving, where they're at in their lives. Is this an appropriate time to even ask them for a major gift? There might be something that would prevent them from doing so, like several kids in college, things mm-hmm. of that nature.
And as we are giving assignments to prospect researchers, what information is helpful to you?
It's very helpful for me to have the person's correct spelling of their name.
That's interesting.
Right?
That's the first thing you say. Is that often not correct?
Every once in a while, I do come across a misspelling on a name, and I need to go back to my client and say, are you sure the spelling isn't this way, you know, because I am finding somebody connected to that company, but a slightly different spelling on a name, and then they'll say, oh, yes, sorry, mistyped that.
Okay, all right.
Meanwhile, I've gone off, you know, trying to look for a completely different individual.
Right.
So, spelling really important. Do they have a middle initial? Are they a junior or a senior when I'm researching a male? Their spouse's name, their home address, and where they're employed. Even if they don't know a lot about their employment history, sometimes it just knowing where they're currently employed. If there's a common name, you know, if I'm researching Tony Martinetti, that's probably not that common a name.
Yeah, they're all
the
distinguished,
States.
But there aren't very many, but we're distinguished.
If I'm, you know, researching Joe McCarthy, yeah, that's going to be a much more common name across the United States. So I would want to know exactly where Joe McCarthy might be employed so I know I'm researching the right guy.
Okay. We're trying to get into your, we're getting in your head today. I should have called this segment In Maria's Head.
Yeah, maybe you should change it.
Well, no, it's too late now. No, we're committed. But, I want listeners to get the idea of how this process works for you. I mean, what it is, like what you're thinking about, you know, like I said, before you go to resources. Anything else that you're thinking about or doing before you actually start the research process, you know, in this like thinking and analyzing process or stage, I should say?
Yeah, I mean, just really trying to get, I think part of it too is making sure that you've carved out some quiet, uninterrupted time to do the research is probably important as well. So that when you're able to find and get yourself in a curious mindset, right, sort of a like an investigative reporter mindset, so that when you're about to start this research, if you see some sort of a clue that leads you to believe that there's something you want to explore a little bit further, you've then carved out that time and space and that mindset to be able to really explore something a little bit more in depth. And also knowing when to stop. Knowing that every little bit of information that you come across might not even be relevant to the fundraising process.
Okay, interesting. Knowing when to stop.
Knowing when to stop, because you could really, you know, this is something I hear from people a lot saying, well, how do you know when you've hit the right mark? How do you know when to stop? Because you could just sort of go on forever, right? You could just stay on Google, for example, and just kind of keep going. But you really need to understand what the goal is of the overall process. So as I said earlier, understanding what type of gift you're looking for, and then when you're able to frame your mindset in that way, you're able to understand what those potential pieces of information are that you're looking for. Also, I'll usually say to a client up front, if I find information related to giving to your organization, I'm not going to note that on my profile because the assumption is you have that information already, so I don't need to kind of repeat that in a profile that I'm sending back to you.
All right.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
And I like that analogy of the investigative reporter. That's cool.
Yeah. In fact, you know, one book, you know, you mentioned that. One book when I first started out really getting into doing prospect research, I think it was called, let me look, I think I still have it on my bookshelf here. I think it's called The Investigative Reporter's Handbook. Oh, no, The Reporter's Handbook. And that was kind of a neat tool to have on hand because it kind of gave me a bunch of resources that people who do investigative journalism, investigative reporting might be using. And I thought, well, that must be a lot of the same resources that prospect researchers might use.
Oh, interesting. That was your very first book?
One of the first that I had kind of looked at and thought, well, this could be really useful for me to have, you know, on hand just in terms of resources. So I still have it sitting on my bookshelf. Every once in a while I have to pull it out and look something up in there just to remind myself of a resource that I might want to check out.
Okay. And we have just a minute before our first break. What's the Well, is it going to vary where you go first, depending upon what the assignment is?
Actually, no. I do have a first stop that I always make, and it is a fee-based resource. And the reason why I use it is that it normally points me to a lot of markers that I would want to check out further on my own through other sources. So it kind of gives me a really good first overview glance of an individual, and then has me pointing to a lot of different sources.
Okay, now you're teasing us. You haven't given us the name of the site yet.
No, not yet.
Oh, so what is it already?
We'll have to wait till after the break for that one.
Look at you taking control. No, I run this show. You'll say it now, or we're not taking a break. So
okay,
what's the name of the site?
Sure, I'll say it now. So the site is Wealth Engine.
Okay, now we're taking a break. Okay, Maria goes to Wealth Engine first. We do have to take a break. We'll come back in a couple seconds, and she stays with us, and we'll keep picking Maria's brains to find out how this prospect research process works. So stay with us.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Are you confused about which diet is right for you? Are you tired of being tired? How about improving your energy, strength, and appearance? Hi, I'm Rika Keck, a holistic nutrition and wellness consultant. If you have answered yes to any of my questions, contact me now at nyintegratedhealth.com or at 646-285-8588. Initiate change and transform your life.
Are you concerned about the future of your business or career? Would you like it all to just be better? Well, the way to do that is through better communication. And the best way to do that is training from the team at Improving Communications. This is Larry Sharp, host of the Ivory Tower Radio Program and director at Improving Communications. Does your office need better leadership, customer service, sales, or maybe better writing or speaking skills? Could they be better at dealing with confrontation, conflicts, and touchy subjects? All are covered here at Improving Communications. If you're in the New York City area, stop by one of our public classes or get your human resources in touch with us. The website is improvingcommunications.com. That's improvingcommunications.com. Improve your professional environment. Be more effective. Be happier and make more money. Improving Communications. That's the answer.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Welcome back to Big Nonprofit Ideas for the Other 95%. We're pre-recording this week. Those are listening live on Friday. I'm at Fundraising Day in New York City doing podcast interviews for future shows. We're on the exhibit floor in the Marriott Marquis Hotel all day Friday doing interviews of speakers at Fundraising Day. So I can't send live listener love, but I know there are live listeners out there. We know California has certainly checked in, of course. Often Texas and Oregon, North Carolina, very frequent listeners, North Carolina, and Asia. Konnichiwa for our Japanese listeners in China and Taiwan, always checking in. Ni hao. And in Korea, annyo haseyo. And we've had occasional listeners from Australia as well. Not every week, but occasional. And that will play into Tony's Take Two, because my two guests on Tony's Take Two are visiting from Australia. Okay, Maria Semple, you go to Wealth Engine first. Why is that?
I do, because it very often will point me toward key pieces of information that I want to explore further, such as property ownerships, primary and secondary properties that they might own. It would point me toward companies that they're connected to, foundations they're connected to, political giving, charitable giving. So it gives me a lot of great information for me to then say, all right, these are all potential places this person either is now or has been in the near past connected to. so let me then go on to some other resources to explore these further.
Now, what about people who don't have the budget for Wealth Engine? You said it's a fee-based service. What do you recommend?
I would say Google. Google could really be great, but you know what? You'd want to go to the advanced search page of Google so you're really using it efficiently and you're able to really narrow down your search results so that you're not getting thousands or potentially a million hits that you need to kind of comb through. And I think we've given this site out before. Have we talked about the advanced search page of Google in the past?
Yes, we have. So why don't you just remind listeners how to get to it?
So you can go to google.com/advanced_search, and that brings up a completely different search page for people to take a look at. You can look for things as an exact phrase. You can look at specific sites. So let's say you know that a particular prospect went to Columbia University, and you're trying to figure out in your head, well, how, do they still maintain a relationship with Columbia? Are they donating there? Are they serving on the board there? You can actually narrow down your search results to only include hits that are on Columbia University's website.
Okay. So for those of us who don't have Wealth Engine, Google Advanced Search, very good place to start.
Yes. Excellent place to start.
Okay. You mentioned setting aside a block of time to do this research. How long should you set aside? How long do you can we estimate how long this is going to take?
When you have an individual's name to research, and in particular if you're trying to research a couple, you should probably set aside roughly 4 hours of time to research an individual's name.
Hmm. Okay, 4 hours. That's quite a block. That's a half a day.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you're talking about doing this level of in-depth research, from the time you're doing the research to the time you're typing it, you know, your data either into a Word file or right straight away into your donor database and populating it there, that's kind of the ideal. You know, it's going to take you some time to gather the info and then type it into where it's going to make sense into a concise profile for the development officer that's going to use the information.
Are you ever asked why should we use the fee-based resources if we have free ones?
Yes, I am asked that all the time because, you know, nonprofits, especially I would think a lot of your listeners, Tony, have very tight budgets in terms of what they're really going to be allowed to spend. But what I find is that paying to use some of the fee-based resources really cut to the chase and get to the meat of the data that you're looking for very quickly. So, you know, although you might sound like, you know, off the top of your head, you know, well, why do we need to spend, you know, $2,000 to $5,000 or something for a particular resource when I can access a lot of that information for free? Well, yeah, you can access a lot of it for free. However, you're going to all these different sites, and now it's your time of going to a ton of different sites to find this information versus having it all gathered in one place. And, you know, as I said, it really kind of just cuts to the chase. So you're going to spend the money somewhere, whether it's on a fee-based resource or on staff time to do the research.
Okay. That's a frequent trade-off, time versus money. But you'll be more efficient if you can invest in some of these. If someone had a limited budget, what are the resources you'd suggest paying for first? Or does that vary based on the task, maybe?
Yeah, I think it would vary based on the task. So if somebody's role is really just to do foundation research, right, then they might want to expend their research budget on sources that really focus on foundation research. Now, if somebody's role is really on only in researching individuals, then they would want to set aside some funds for screening companies such as the Wealth Engines of the world to be able to really cut to the chase. And it would allow them to then research more people in a given week.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? So, you know, when you're talking about spending 4 hours on a name, you know, look at how many names one person then can research potentially in a week.
All right. We've talked a lot about the Foundation Center for Foundation Research. Is that one that you would recommend if we're going to invest in something on the foundation side? Or is it something else? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No. I usually use a combination. I'll use a combination of three resources when I'm using my foundation research. The Foundation Center, by the way, you can access their fee-based research, the Foundation Center online, Foundation Directory online, I should say. They have that available at a lot of the cooperating collections, so there you can use that resource for free if you're willing to take a trip to a nearby library that houses a cooperating collection. Otherwise, I would say fee-based, I like to use foundationsearch.com. I really like the way they aggregate their data and the output. And let's say I'm researching for a social service agency, right, versus an educational institution. Mm-hmm. Say my client is a social service agency. I'm interested in seeing, well, what are the gifts in that particular category? Are they, what are the range size of gifts? So that I can hone in specifically on this resource. I can hone in on just the social service gifts that foundation has made, and I can print that out on an Excel spreadsheet and save it in a spreadsheet, I should say, and then send that to my client so they can see a sampling of the gifts that have been made in that category.
All right, and that one was foundationsearch.com?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there another one, one more that you think?
Yeah, GuideStar is very good as well. GuideStar has very good research capacity, and you can do both free and fee-based research on GuideStar. And the really cool thing is that if a nonprofit maintains their own data on GuideStar, then they are actually granted access to their premium search level source. So there's kind of a double bonus, really, to maintaining your own data on GuideStar.
Okay, and that's still on the foundation side, right, GuideStar?
Yeah, because you're able to look at, GuideStar kind of monitors both nonprofit organizations and foundations.
Okay.
So you can get data on both in that source.
Let's go to the individual side. If someone is willing to invest and able to invest in some paid resources, what do you like, first couple, top few on the individual side?
Top few that I like are, as I mentioned already, Wealth Engine.
Right.
The other one I like is iWave. iWave has a number of resources that they house under their banner, and they actually just changed up in the last couple of months where you can now input a person's name and it will research across all the different sources that they house, such as Zoom Info, Power Search. They have foundation information, giving data, property information. So I like that resource very much as well.
Okay. We're picking the brains of Maria Semple, the prospect finder, and our monthly prospect research contributor, trying to get at what this process is and getting at it through the questions that she's asked in all the seminars and training that she does. What's something else, Maria, that people frequently ask about research on the individual side?
They wonder how they should be looking at people versus couples. They say, well, should I, if I have the name of an individual, is it necessary for me to be looking at what their spouse is doing? And I always say, if you can come across that data and have the time to include that in your research, I think it is important because most people are not making their philanthropic decisions in a vacuum, and they are making those decisions as a couple, whether they're donating from a personal checkbook or a foundation checkbook. So I really think that if you can find out where their spouse is also spending time volunteering on a board or where they're donating elsewhere, I think it'd be really good to be able to include that if you have the time to do so.
We've had guests who recommend that the relationship should be with a couple where there is a couple, just for a deeper relationship. You just as you said, there's influence one person to the other. It's just a, you know, it's a broadening of the relationship. Why have the relationship only with one person out of a couple if you can include both?
Right, right. And, you know, and then extend it to potentially multi-generational. You know, at some point, if you want to be able to have that legacy continue with that family, you know, as the children start to mature and come into their own and become part of the overall charitable decisions that couple may be making and become more aware of it. And that happens, you know, as you well know, Tony, at all different ages and levels and depending sure. on people's income and so forth. So I think it would be important to start including their children in some of these and maybe have family-friendly activities for that younger set and mm-hmm. start getting them engaged.
Okay. Yeah, or at least event invitations. Even if the kids can't come, just the thought of an invitation, I think, is important.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay, what's another FAQ that you get on individual research?
People say to me, you know, I'm interested in their net worth. I just really need to get a handle on their net worth, and people get hung up on that phrase. And, you know, the key thing to keep in mind is prospect researchers don't have access to certain key pieces of information that make up net worth. We don't have information about the liability side of somebody's equation. So while I'm able to tell you how much somebody paid for their home, what the home is valued at now, how much taxes they pay on that home, I don't know how much debt they're carrying, not only on that home, but credit card debt and so forth.
Yes.
So we never access things like credit reports.
So you don't know the liability side of a person's balance sheet.
No, no. We can get, you know, a pretty good handle on the asset side, but not on the liability side. So a true picture of net worth is not something that we have access to.
Why is that important? Why would someone get hung up needing to know net worth?
You know, I think it's just because it's one of these phrases that's thrown around out there, you know, oh, somebody's got a net worth of whatever, and, you know, the Forbes list, somebody's net worth, you know, on Forbes. The net worth, I think, doesn't even matter as much as the relationship as the person already has with the nonprofit organization or the potential for that relationship. So, you know, somebody could have a much lower net worth on paper, but have a really significant and deep relationship with a nonprofit and very committed, and they're going to be probably a much better donor prospect than Bill Gates, for example, for your small little nonprofit helping a geographic community. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course. And
so the net worth number is really not something that people really should be getting hung up on.
Yeah, it sounds like a red herring to me, based on, you know, even just the different goals that you mentioned earlier of research. I don't see where net worth would have a lot of value.
Yeah, but okay. It seems like it shouldn't, but I get asked that all the time. Well, you know, are you able to tell me so-and-so's net worth? And it's a little bit of an educational process sometimes when I have to come back and say no, and this is why.
Okay. Just a minute or so again before another break. What about political giving? Is that relevant before we get into where you might do it? Is that relevant?
I do like to include political giving information. Some nonprofits, you know, are kind of supercharged in one direction or another politically.
Right.
So it is kind of important to know where a prospect might lie. But I think it just gives a general marker as to, again, where somebody's capacity is. If they're able to make donations annually of, you know, $2,000, $5,000 to political donations, I think it just gives you another indicator of overall capacity for somebody to be able to donate to your nonprofit.
Okay, we're going to break there. And when we return, it's Tony's Take Two, live guests for Tony's Take Two from Australia. And then we'll continue our conversation with Maria, picking Maria's brains. So stay with me.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Are you confused about which diet is right for you? Are you tired of being tired? How about improving your energy, strength, and appearance? Hi, I'm Rika Keck, a holistic nutrition and wellness consultant. If you have answered yes to any of my questions, contact me now at nyintegratedhealth.com or at 646-285-8588. Initiate change and transform your life.
Are you concerned about the future of your business or career? Would you like it all to just be better? Well, the way to do that is through better communication. And the best way to do that is training from the team at Improving Communications. This is Larry Sharp, host of the Ivory Tower Radio Program and director at Improving Communications. Does your office need better leadership, customer service, sales, or maybe better writing or speaking skills? Could they be better at dealing with confrontation, conflicts, and touchy subjects? All are covered here at Improving Communications. If you're in the New York City area, stop by one of our public classes or get your human resources in touch with us. The website is improvingcommunications.com. That's improvingcommunications.com. Improve your professional environment. Be more effective. Be happier and make more money. Improving Communications. That's the answer.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Welcome back. Time now for Tony's Take Two. And I am really, I'm pretty excited to have live guests for Tony's Take Two. This is very rare. Joining me from Australia, Keith Wright and artist Sally West, here to talk about the Love Is campaign. Welcome.
Thanks, Tony.
Sally, you literally flew last night, right? You arrived last night in New York City?
I've had 2 hours sleep.
Okay, excellent. So that's fine.
Terrible.
You're in New York. There's no time for sleep. We don't. Where are you coming from? Where in Australia?
Sydney. We're both from Sydney.
Okay. But where's Bluey's Bay? Bluey's Beach.
Oh,
where's that, right?
That's 3.5 hours up the coast.
But isn't that where you told me
that's,
you live? Bluey's Beach?
Yeah, the paradise I just moved from.
Oh.
Yes.
You're not in Bluey's Beach anymore?
No.
Oh, there's no reason to visit then. Oh, I was going to come to the beach. All right. Now you live in Sydney.
Still on the beach.
Okay. And Keith, you're in the city, in Sydney also?
Living in the city.
Okay. Mm. I know Sally's an artist. What is your work, Keith?
Social entrepreneur.
Okay. And what's the Love Is campaign that brings you to New York?
Yeah, we're putting an event on in July, which is to provide young people in New York with the opportunity to share with the world what love is all about. And it's very exciting. I've been meeting with a lot of people in New York in the last few days. And it's sensational.
Okay, there's a book, there's film, there's art. Acquaint us with some of this.
Yeah, we've created a book. Sally's painting is on the front of the book, and there's impressions of love from around the world. 6 continents have been covered. There's a short film on the website which talks about love, and we're in a film festival at the moment in New York as well.
And which festival is that?
That's the NYC Picture Start Film Festival, which is running this week.
This week, when does it end?
Thursday.
It ends on Thursday. Oh, unfortunately. All right. So listeners are not going to be able to get that because this streams on Friday. But Sally, you have a show that's affiliated with the Love Is campaign. Is that right? Or is the show is separate or what?
Well, it's a way to promote the project.
Promote the campaign? Okay.
Yes, where,
and tell us about your show.
It opens on the 5th of June and it's at the Artifact Gallery in New York. Oh. At 84 Orchard Street in Lower East Side. And the works are an impression, I guess you'd say, of the of what I see as the beauty of people's lives that they create out of their chaotic, out of their own chaos.
Okay. The poor one's working on 2 hours sleep.
Yeah.
But again, welcome to New York. I mean, this is where we thrive on that. That's actually a luxury.
Yeah.
You're lucky to get two hours.
2 hours is good, right?
It is. So you're trying to capture love in your art. Acquaint us with...
Love is one of the aspects. Beauty and peace, definitely. So there's a very minimal... color palette and highly textured and highly chaotic works, I would say. but within the works there's, when you stand back, there's a simplicity in the work as well.
Keith, you want to connect with nonprofits in the U.S., right?
Yeah, very much the case. Part of our trip this time is to connect with charities that are working with young people. They would love to be able to speak to those guys about the event, which is an art-orientated event in July. The event takes place on the 20th of July. We've got some canvases that we're going to be taking around New York and having the opportunity for people to write what they think love is on those canvases. So we'd love to hear from other charities in New York, and especially charities that are looking to raise their awareness and consider increasing their donor pools and want to spread a message to the world.
And charities that are working with children, is that
that would be
for?
Great, yeah. And or suicide. We've got a project that we're doing in Australia around suicide prevention, so we'd love to hear from a suicide prevention charity too.
Okay. You've already got a couple of charities that you're affiliated with,
correct?
Right?
Yeah, we're doing some work with the Women Worldwide Initiative in New York, The Point, and this week we last week we signed with Lit World, which is a global charity, and that was a very exciting step forward, so it's great.
How can listeners reach you if they want to join the campaign?
Yep, they can visit the website, which is www.bookloveis, and there's details on there of how to connect with us, an email address, or they can email me directly at keith@squareshapedcircles.com.
Okay, say your email address one more time.
Yeah, it's Keith, K-E-I-T-H, at squareshapedcircles.com.
Okay, and the website is bookloveis.com?
Correct.
Okay, and Sally West's show at Artifact Gallery on Orchard Street in New York City runs until when, Sally?
From the 5th to the 23rd of June. And you can find out more information about the show on my website, which is www.sallywestart.com.
SallyWestArt.com. Sally West, Keith Wright, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you very much, Tony.
It's been a pleasure. Good luck with the Love Is campaign.
Thank you.
And I will see you at the opening tomorrow night.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you very
pleasure.
Much.
Real
Tony.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Returning to Maria Semple. You're still there, Maria?
I am here.
Okay. Oh, but let me just say that that was, I'm sorry, I'm out of sequence. That was Tony's Take Two for Friday the 7th of June, 23rd show of the year. She's almost already halfway through 2013. Okay. Let's continue, Maria. We're talking about individual research and picking your brains. We were talking about political giving. And if that is germane to the goal of our research, where can we find it?
One of the easiest places to go to, there are a number of resources, but I like going to the website of the Federal Election Commission. So that's F, like Frank, FEC.gov. And you can search by an individual's name. If that individual also has a very common name, they have actually an advanced search page. So if you knew that person was from a particular state, you might focus your research down to having that person's name affiliated with that state so that you'll know that you've got the correct person. But what I also really like about that is sometimes I'm only told that, you know, well, this person is, this is their name, and we think they're affiliated with the construction industry, but we don't have their address or we don't have their work address.
That's not a lot
so
to go
very
on.
Often,
name and we think they're affiliated with the construction industry?
Yeah.
Is that it?
They won't have very much information to tell me. Remember I told you earlier it's often helpful if I've got their address, but if I don't have it, and if I'm not able to readily find it, what's kind of interesting is that on political donations, when you make a political donation, I think the minimum is $250 or more. It's either 200 or 250 or more. Then it becomes part of public record and searchable on this FEC database. Part of what they provide in making this donation public is an address and very often an employer affiliation. So sometimes if those are the missing pieces to my puzzle, I'm able to find it through their political giving. So that's kind of an extra bonus to looking at their political giving, I find.
Anywhere else besides FEC.gov?
There are a number of sites out there. I think Mother Jones is one of them. Certainly the major resources that I mentioned earlier, like Wealth Engine and iWave, they do aggregate the data as well. But I do like to see that recap right on the FEC, because I think that's probably the source that a lot of these aggregators are getting it from anyway.
Okay, FEC.gov sounds like a big site. Where do we go after we're at that root URL?
You would want to, do a search for campaign contribution by, and then you can search by individual's name. So that's very useful. You know, one caveat that I should mention about that site, though, is you can't use the information. It says very clearly on there that you can't use the information for any solicitation purposes at all. So really, I just use it as part of my overall data that I'm gathering on somebody. But you do need to be careful about using it to proactively prospect for new people. And by that, I mean the resource allows you to go in and search by a zip code and find out who all the big political donors are in a particular zip code.
Right.
But they say that the data is seeded, so meaning that, I don't know, I would think, I don't know, the federal government's watching to see who's going to download the list and then mass, mail out to them. And so they might throw some fake names in there, maybe. I'm not sure.
Right, or names of people who work for the Federal Elections Commission to see what nefarious things people might be doing with the names they find.
Right, so I would just be very careful. Don't use the data to proactively prospect. I think that would get you in some trouble.
All right, and this type of political giving, we're talking about only giving to the major political parties. Is it only Republican and Democratic parties, or does it go a little broader than that?
There's giving to political action committees as well. So yeah, I mean it is pretty broad. It is pretty broad.
Okay.
So I do like to at least include that the person, I might even just recap it on my profile. The person has donated in the last 5 years X number of dollars toward political campaigns. And then I might note, if I can find it, most of them are Democrat versus Republican, for example. So if the nonprofit needs to know more, I can actually expand on that and show exactly what gifts have been made to which political candidates.
Can we get to the data on giving to the 501c4s that are in the press a lot, because they're the ones that were mostly, not exclusively, but mostly targeted and flagged by the IRS Determinations Unit, which I've talked about a couple of weeks ago on Tony's Take Two. Can we get to that 501c4? Those are those social change organizations?
I'm not sure. I don't recall ever seeing 501c4 specifically, but that's a good one for me to explore. I'm kind of curious about that myself now that you've brought it up.
Okay.
I would have to dig a little bit further and find out about that. Maybe we can talk about it on a future show. I'll make a note for myself to find out about 501c4 giving.
Okay. I think a feature of them is that they don't have to disclose their donors. I think, but I could be wrong about that. But you'll know because you're going to do the research. Look, this is the value of having a regular contributor as a prospect researcher. Look at these assignments I'm giving out left and right.
Yeah, giving me work. I had no idea I'd be getting a work assignment today. No.
Okay.
Just in case I didn't have enough to do, Tony.
It's helping you prep for the next show. This is a valuable aid for you.
I think so.
Okay. Okay, what else? What other things are people asking you about on the individual side still, individuals?
People are also asking about, they want to know if, as a general marker for wealth, they would like to know if people are owners of yachts or planes, and both of those are also part of what one can find out in the public record field. So you want to talk about some of those resources?
Since they're not too common, why don't you just list, two or three?
Okay, so the yachts are all registered with the Coast Guard, and so the Coast Guard does maintain a website. It's a little cumbersome. I actually go to a very inexpensive fee-based resource to do that research. It's called boatinfoworld.com.
Okay.
So you can research by a person's name and find out if they own a yacht. And on the airplane side, you can go to the FAA website, the Federal Aviation Administration. You can search to see if somebody has a pilot license. You can also search to see whether they or their company would own a plane. So that, you know, is other pieces of information that if somebody is really a, you know, a high net worth individual, they might have one of those two items.
Okay. For the rest of our conversation, we're going to switch to the foundation side because that's important too. Just a minute before a break, how do we get started on the foundation side? And then we'll have time more after the break.
I think probably a great place to start then would be just to go to the Foundation Center and find out for free whether or not that last name might have a foundation affiliated with it. But sometimes people don't always use their name. They'll come up with some sort of a creative name for their foundation. So that would probably be the easiest way to start, is to go there or to GuideStar and find out. And Foundation Center or GuideStar site, is again, because you can do it for free on those two sites, just to run their name through the search field.
Okay. I know Johnny Carson was famous for that. I think his foundation was like the John W. Foundation or something like that. It was something obscurely named. We got to go away for a couple minutes. When we come back, Marie and I will keep talking and more about foundation research. So stay with us.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Hi, I'm Austin Marola.
And I'm Sloan Wainwright.
We're the hosts of the new Thursday morning show, The Music
Power Hour.
At 11 a.m.
We're going to have fun.
And shine the light on all aspects of music.
And its limitless healing possibilities.
We're going to invite artists to share their songs and play live.
We'll be listening and talking about great music from yesterday to today.
So you're invited to share in our musical conversation.
Your ears will be delighted with the sound of music.
And our voices. Join Austin
and Sloan
live Thursdays at 11 a.m. on TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
I'm Ken Berger of Charity Navigator, and you're listening to Tony Martinetti, Nonprofit Radio, Big Nonprofit Ideas for the Other 95%.
Ken Berger is so modest. He's CEO of Charity Navigator, and he's just been in the news. I just saw him quoted in the New York Times around disaster aid. Yes, I think it was in the wake of the Moore, Oklahoma tornado. He was quoted, you know, making the point that there's a tension between getting money to victims fast and vetting where that money goes so that it goes to people who actually need it. But anyway, Ken Berger, CEO of Charity Navigator, has been a guest. So Maria, what we've been talking about so far on the foundation side, that was whether an individual is connected to a foundation, right?
That's right.
Okay. Or whether they might have their own foundation. Or what if you want to know if they're on a board of a foundation?
So there, that's where I do get into the fee-based resource of foundationsearch.com, because I'm able to put in an individual's name and find out if they come up connected as a trustee of a foundation. So again, even though they may not have their own family foundation, they still have access to another foundation as a trustee. I want to know that. That's really important information for me to know about.
Okay.
So,
and
yeah. And one of the other things we didn't touch upon with regard to individuals, and it kind of relates to foundations as well,
okay,
is whether or not somebody is a corporate insider at a public company, meaning that they would own significant shares of stock of that company, and as an insider, they have to report that to the SEC. Sometimes what people will do is they will take that will be the influx of cash, for example, that foundation receives. So if I look through at a particular foundation and then I see that the foundation has had an influx that year of X number of shares of stock, or that the foundation happens to hold a large position of a particular type of stock, that's kind of a marker to me that somebody connected to that foundation may have been connected to that company where there's that large stock position, and then that'll give me another piece to that puzzle that I might want to explore further.
Very interesting. So you're looking at the finances of the foundation, not just what they give to and what the timeline is for sending your letter of inquiry and things like that.
Yeah, because if I don't really know that much about the person and I'm trying to figure out what their work history has been about, and if they are connected, as I said, to a foundation or are seeding their foundation with stocks of a particular company, then that might be something for me to look at to see if their name is connected to that company and maybe some news resources or something like that. Maybe they've retired recently from a company. So it's very important for me to try and figure out where that money is coming from that's really financing that foundation.
Okay. All right. So, yeah. So, but I'm exploring it from the researching the foundation side. You look at the
right.
You'll look at the finances and the sources of their giving, as well as other like mission related things.
Yeah. Sometimes it is important for me to have that piece. And you know where else it's very important to know where the foundation has their money invested is I was once doing research for American Cancer Society, and they wanted to make sure that the foundations they were approaching did not have significant assets.
Oh, yeah.
Or any assets invested in stocks related to tobacco. And so my research project became very different at that point, right? Because I had to try and figure out, sometimes it's not as evident. There was, I can't remember what the company was that had a significant position as a subsidiary company, owned a subsidiary company that was tobacco related, and it wasn't apparent at the outset. So mm-hmm. I figured out what that company really did.
What is something that you're back to our FAQs that you're asked often about researching foundations?
So they want to know, does the foundation give to pre-selected organizations? So on page 9 or 10 or so of an IRS, every foundation files an IRS 990 PF, and on about page 9 or 10 of that form, it'll have a little checkbox that a foundation can check off if they give to pre-selected organizations or not. And it's really important to know that because it could really just be a dead-end foundation for you if you're trying to knock on that door and they're just not accepting any proposals. In that case, what I say to a nonprofit is, look, if your mission is so perfectly aligned to what that foundation likes to fund, let's try and figure out if a member of your board perhaps has a connection to somebody who's a trustee of that foundation so we can at least open a dialogue because just sending an outright proposal is really not going to get you anywhere.
That sounds like the first thing you should look at if you're researching a foundation is jump to whether this checkoff on page 9 or 10 is checked about pre-selected organizations only, right?
Yes, I don't know. Is absolutely.
It? Yeah. You spend half an hour researching a foundation only to get to page 9 and find out that you wasted half an hour.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
But, that resource that I mentioned earlier, foundationsearch.com, actually you can, if you're searching for foundations, say, who donate to the arts in your particular state, you can actually tell the source to only search for foundations who accept, who are accepting proposals. So you can actually have the tool. And again, here, that's where you were talking about, you know, well, is it worth paying for a tool or not? Here's a resource that will help you cut to the chase as to knocking all those other foundations off the list for you so that you're not spending any valuable time researching it unnecessarily.
And the thing that we're going to end with is, how would you execute your suggestion to find out whether one of your one of the board members on the board you're doing the work for has a connection with someone in a foundation that only gives to pre-selected organizations?
So what I've done in the past for some of my clients is I've taken those organizations that give only to pre-selected, maybe say in their county or their geographic community that they serve, and I will outline the list of all the trustees of those foundations and circulate those names on a spreadsheet with the members of the board and ask them to identify if they have any connections, if they happen to know any of these people. So it becomes a very different task when you approach a development committee meeting or a fundraising or a general board meeting and say, you know, gee, does anybody have a foundation connection that they know of, versus if you've proactively gone out and sought out the names of foundations in your community that you just need some help getting doors open to, put a list of names in front of them of those trustees, then it becomes a very different meeting and a very different conversation.
For those who are interested in strategy around foundation grantsmanship, I've had a guest, John Hicks, in the past. You could go to my blog at tonymartinetti.com and search for John Hicks, H-I-C-K-S, pull up that show where he was a guest, and he talked a lot for an hour about the strategy of approaching foundations. Maria, we have to leave it there. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. As always, each month, Maria Semple is the Prospect Finder, and you'll find her at theprospectfinder.com. Next week, it is Software Selection. Don Forns, CEO of Software Advice, leads us through the software selection process for nonprofits. And Amy Sample Ward returns. She's our social media contributor, but she's no longer membership director at N10, the Nonprofit Technology Network. Did she get booted out? We're going to talk about it. She has an announcement. I have to leave it at that. Insert sponsor message. Over 9,000 leaders, fundraisers, and board members of small and mid-sized charities listen to this show each week. You can contact me on my blog if you'd like to talk about sponsoring the show. Our creative producer is Claire Meyerhoff. Janice Taylor line produced today's show. Our social media is by Regina Walton of Organic Social Media, and the remote producer of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio is John Federico of The New Rules. And as you're listening on Friday, June 7th, we are remote at Fundraising Day at the Marriott Marquis in New York City. Oh, I hope you'll be with me next week, and I hope next week you will have been with me this week. Otherwise, I'll suffer some serious but not life-threatening disease. You'll find us every Friday, 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern, at Talking Alternative Broadcasting at talkingalternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Hi, I'm Dana.
And I'm Don.
We are certified mediators, and I am a family and couples licensed therapist and author of Please Don't Buy Me Ice Cream.
Our show, New Beginnings, is about helping you and your family recover financially and emotionally and start the beginning of your life.
We'll answer your questions on divorce, family court, co-parenting, personal development, new relationships, blending families, and more.
Dana and I will bring you to a place of empowerment and belief that even though marriages may end, families are forever.
Join us every Monday starting September 10th at 10 a.m. on TalkingAlternative.com.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
This is Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Technology, fundraising, compliance, social media. Small and medium nonprofits have needs in all these areas. My guests are expert in all these areas and more. Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern on Talking Alternative Broadcasting.
Are you fed up with talking points rhetoric? Every way you turn, it's left or right spin, ideology, no reality. In fact, it's ideology over intellect. No more. It's time for the truth. Join me, Larry Sharp, a.k.a. The Neo-Sage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11 Eastern, for the Ivory Tower radio program. In the Ivory Tower, we'll discuss what's important to you, society, politics, business, and family. It's provocative talk for the realist and the skeptic who want to know what's really going on, what does it mean, and what can be done about it. So gain special access to the Ivory Tower and listen to me, Larry Sharp, your Neo-Sage, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11, New York time. Go to ivorytowerradio.com for details. That's ivorytowerradio.com. The Ivory Tower is a great place to visit for both entertainment and education. Listen in, Tuesday nights, 9 to 11. It will make you smarter.
TalkingAlternative.com.